I believe God will speak to us all today. The word I have came to me several weeks ago, and I knew that I will share this word. It came to me personally, first of all, but I know that everybody, every heart will be blessed. And if you need whatever correction is needed in your heart, it will be done. The pre-word to this sermon is like this. I was walking my dog in the morning in the meadows close to my house. I started thinking about what wrong decisions and choices I've done in my life. I remembered things I could do other way. I remembered my errors. It didn't take long, several minutes, and I felt like black cloud started pressing my shoulders. I saw the sky, the environment, my dog, sun, and suddenly all became dark. I felt on my heart and my shoulders unbearable load. I became very sad. I started to regret certain things. And suddenly I found myself, when I learned in life that if I see good things become less, I have to change something. So I stopped instantly and asked myself what I am doing. And I understood that I was just regretting and being sad. And I asked God, Lord, if I live like this, and I didn't expect instant answer from God, but I asked him, what if I allow myself to think like I did just several minutes ago, how it will be? And then God answered me, in that case, you wouldn't be a believer. And I got the point. I would walk in unbelief in that case. This is my sermon. It was actually the beginning and preface to this sermon. Since that morning, I started thinking and contemplating the Word of God about sadness and regrets. What it is, how to approach this, and I will share the message today. How to approach it in a right way. This is a very wide topic, but I will try to do my best putting my thoughts all together. If you open the second letter to Corinthians, you will find those two types of sadness. It's written, now I rejoice, not because you became sad, but because your sadness led you to repentance. You became sad with the sadness which comes from God. We didn't harm you, because sadness which comes from God, it gives birth to repentance, which leads to salvation. Worldly sadness gives birth to death. And this godly sadness gave birth worries and justification and fear, such a strong desire to be diligent. You appeared in this case to be clean in this matter. The author says you have two types of regrets regarding things which you have done or haven't done. It depends on you to which sadness you will allow to operate in you. You will have different routes. One sadness will lead you to death, the other will lead you to repentance and life. If you let wrong sadness operate in you, it will lead you to death and hopelessness. Anything that is not God's will to you and me. So how you should approach your errors or your sins? The world calls sins errors, and it becomes popular to call it in the church, but the Bible calls certain things sin. Basically, you did it because unbelief. Let us call proper names. I will show you how to approach in the right way these issues. Now, I'll show you several wrong things, wrong type of approach. And this one is very popular in the church in these days, and it is very dangerous. I'll start from the first one, which is when a person sins, makes wrong choice, commits error, it is very popular to apply a theory of grace which is perverted and dangerous, because when you read the scripture, you don't find that kind of grace. Thoughts appear in the church. If you do something, you are under grace and you can't be under the judgment. Because I gave life to Jesus, and now I can lead whatever life I want because I'm under grace, which covers all my choices. There is also a teaching like that. But you can be guilty if you acted led by your flesh. Read letters of Paul, how he warns the church. If you look at John letters, John says, if you are walking in darkness, you are in dangerous place, go to light. If you say that you don't have sin and you are under the grace, you are deceiving yourself. And my prayer is that nobody would sin. But if you commit sin, you have Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, who forgives you when you repent and ask for forgiveness. Don't be deceived. We can be guilty. When Holy Spirit came and filled me after my rebirth, I became sensitive to sin. I was thinking wrong things, and I felt in my heart not even saying them. I felt very uncomfortable because I knew I was doing bad things, and I couldn't sleep until I asked for forgiveness. Nobody taught me about the grace. I knew if I did wrong, I have to ask for forgiveness. And this morning, when I was preparing myself for the sermon, my daughter had to take my son to some training session, and they were late, and I raised my voice. And this is my fleshly weakness, that I can start shouting. And this is not justifiable. and I shouted upon my daughter, and you know how I felt? I felt the pressure on my heart. And I could not say, I'm under grace. Let her deal with it. Because Jesus forgave me and I don't take responsibility for my actions. That's not true. I didn't find peace until I gave a call to her and asked forgiveness for my action because it was sin. It wounded her heart. Yes, I belong to Jesus, and His grace saved me from the hell. And the same grace leads me to holiness and leads me to fight with my flesh through His favor, with His power, not by my own might. My dear, when we sin, there should be in us sadness of God, that inconvenience, uncomfortableness. We can't talk about each other bad and feel well. So I warn you, if you are a man of God and you can watch porno today and you don't feel bad, if you, man of God, you can flirt with your director at work, if you can gossip about your pastor, your sister or brother, I warn you, you are in a very, very bad place because you believe in that perverted gospel which says you can't be guilty, you can be justified. Don't feel bad because Jesus forgave you. All the time you have to feel well. No, you have to feel bad if you are doing nonsense. And this is good sadness because the goal of it is to reach a repentance point. If you proclaim grace, which shows that you are not under conviction, and nobody can come and warn you, and you can become even mad if somebody comes and corrects you, and you say grace covers everything. Remember Paul. Paul was very strict in warning Corinthians. He didn't proclaim like this. Paul found out that in the church of Corinth, there is a man who lives in sexual intercourse with his father's wife. He didn't say, don't touch him. He is under grace. Just love him because Jesus forgave him. He said, no, throw him away. Throw him away. It doesn't mean to condemn him or not to love. He said, remove from amongst you, warn him. It is dangerous. And you know why? Not for him to perish, but to destroy, figuratively speaking, the flesh. In that case, soul gets opportunity to be saved. Light gets opportunity to come. And when we sin, my dear, it is okay if our conscience is hurting and wounded. If we become sad, you were very rude to your husband, for example, and you became sad in your heart. It is okay. If you were rude and you were not sad, that is not okay. And because I love you, I will tell you, SOS. Yes, you don't have to be concentrated on your sins. You have to fix your eyes on Jesus, on Holy Spirit. And as the consequence, when we fall, and we do fall, everybody, God's Spirit, through our sensitive consciousness, warns us and gives grace for repentance and changes. Sin is a very covetous thing. God will never forsake us. By grace, we were taken in him, but we ourselves can go to the place where everything is so dark that you can't find your way out of it. And I pray, if you find yourself that your holiness, when you look, for example, 10 years ago at yourself, and you look now, you compare yourself, and you see that your holiness hasn't grown up. It's not important how you think about yourself, how you present yourself. It's wrong. You should call upon Jesus and ask God to talk to your heart. So the second wrong approach towards the sin is when you judge and condemn yourself or others. When one extreme is when you say, I'm not guilty, and the other is when you kill yourself in guilt. This is what I started doing. I was eating myself in sadness, and that sadness was not from God. These thoughts led me to death. God does not come to condemn you. The enemy does. Your not renewed mind does this. God brings repentance in other way. He brings it with light. Now, I'll talk about right approach, which we should practice every day because we stumble every day and sin every day. This should be our daily walk, walking in light. Several steps. First of all, when you sin, when you do wrong thing, don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. And don't run from reality. The first letter of John, first chapter, and other chapters, they say, if you are walking in light, it means you don't lie to yourself, you don't pretend about things that do not exist, you don't lie to others, you just accept the reality that you have sinned, that you have sinned against God, you confess it, you don't hide it. If you need to confess to each other, do it. Do it. Don't pretend that you are Superman or Superwoman, that you have never sinned, that you don't sin now. People act based on flesh and not once. And John prays, I pray you not sin. Go to that place where holiness comes from His grace. While you are moving towards that place, you can see that flesh has less place in your life. If during your following Jesus, you are not becoming more holy and you say, I don't sin, don't lie, you sin. And I do sin. Acceptance and recognition is the first step towards freedom. This good sadness makes a pressure on us, which pressures us and says, confess it and take responsibility that it is you who did this choice. You said something. It's not important that my daughter was late. I can't say I was shouting because she was late. No, no, no. She will be responsible before God for what she has done. But I, being responsible for my actions, I will be responsible before God. So, without any explanation and saying, but, I confess I was shouting. This is good regret because of wrong thing. First is recognition. Second thing is taking responsibility. And what goes next? Don't condemn yourself. Forgive yourself as Christ forgives you. Forgive yourself as God forgives you. And this morning, when I gave a call to my daughter, when I only decided to give a call to her, I felt like more freedom comes and the sadness disappears and the joy comes back. Because in the spirit, God's spirit was pressuring me. You have hurted your child. With a big mouth, you wounded, wonderful, loving person, and you sinned against God, wounding your daughter. With the same mouth, you go blessing other people. So I gave a call. I asked for forgiveness and thanked that she drove her brother to training session. And she forgave me. It was good news. Even if they don't forgive you, you have to learn to forgive yourself. And we read in scripture, 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to clean us from any uncleanliness. I feel in my heart that some of you in your couples, for so long you haven't said these words, forgive me, forgive me. You are God's people and he doesn't change his view. But if your marriage goes wrong way, your children are growing up in toxic relationship, I pray you to be humble and confess what wrong things you are doing. Come back to the throne of God and he will rain his rain on your dry land. Lord and Jesus, visit your church, because very often we do not reflect the face of Jesus. We cover our flesh with his grace. Grace is destined to bring words of God and the will of God to other people. When you allow good sadness to lead you to good changes, don't condemn yourself. Forgive yourself as Christ forgives. Not forgiving yourself, you're living in pride. If you condemn yourself, it means that you may think like, I'm so smart and how could I act like this? God forgives you, forgive yourself. And several steps more. Take this lesson for yourself. Accept new beginning by faith in your life. Every time when godly sadness comes and brings you to repentance and change, it leads us to freedom, to crucify our flesh. God forgives and writes the lesson and gives new beginning. I know this, that even this very morning, after my sin, when I confessed it, God gave me a new beginning. We talked with my daughter, Eva, and I had the feeling that we became even closer with each other. Many times we quote from chapter 8, Romans, that everything works towards good for those who are called by God. Even your sins, if you have a right approach to your sin, it will work towards good by the grace of God. And in these meadows where I was walking my dog, when I was thinking what my life looked like if I would live in constant condemnation, regrets, about my bad decisions, and the whole life I will live in that. And God simply told me, in that case, you would be simply unbeliever. And then I remembered this very particular verse, everything works towards good. And then I said, looking at my past, yes, Jesus, I have done many mistakes and sins in my life. I'm very impulsive person. I like to express myself quickly. I think a little bit later when I do something. But when I see that when you honestly follow God, you confess your sins, God works everything for good, that even your flesh, your errors, your sins, all works towards good, because God managed to turn everything to work for good for you. And I don't have any justification for myself, neither stand feeling guilty myself or condemned by other people. And the last thing is, if you don't sit, take a seat now. The last one is, wait for good things which come from God. Listen to me close. You who allow godly sadness lead you to repentance, you put your steps, not lying to yourself, confessing your sins, asking for forgiveness for those whom you have offended. John says, the blood of Jesus cleans you, cleanses you, and you are the person who gets that new beginning, and you have the right to wait for God, for good things to come. And yes, God does good for everybody, for sinners and for holy people. Everybody have sinned. People slip, but God wants to do good. But when you are rising up from your fall, your ruins, listen, today people are listening to me who can say to me, your son shouting at your daughter is nothing in comparison with me, with my sins, which I have done. Nobody knew, nobody saw terrible things. Today, if you allow God, His sadness to lead you to repentance, wait for good things coming from God. In His eyes, there are no small or big sins. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. If you are moving towards that change, you are ready to go the way Jesus leads. Do not lie to yourself. Wait for good things. I proclaim this, especially, specifically for you who now feel unworthy for better life, for good life, just because you sinned a lot. Don't stay, don't remain in that lie. It's not a lie which leads to good things. Go to God. He says, brother, confess, and I will write into your heart, on your heart, the lesson. And I will open heavenly gates. My compassion and my goodness do not depart from you and all your house. Go to the light. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know what plans I have for you, says the Lord. My plans are for your good life and the future with hope. Your future is not for disaster, and your future is with hope. Maybe you asked in your heart. Sometimes I feel that I start talking about things I didn't prepare, but I have that feeling I should. Maybe in your heart you are asking and saying, oh, but I know God's people who do not lead godly lives, but they have success in their lives. I know that a guy is not faithful to his wife. He proclaims grace and he has success in his life. But you know what the Bible says? Don't be deceived. Don't look to that side even. Don't be deceived. If a man lives in obvious sin and he harms himself and others, he is in a very dangerous place, because God chastises those whom he loves. He is schooling those whom he loves. Sometimes we find justifications for our hidden sins, and you very quickly get your reward. You know why? Because God does not allow your flesh to govern over you. So if you see success which follows a person who obviously sins, it's not success which comes from God. The Bible asks us to surrender to God's holiness, to crucifixion of flesh, and you will see all good things, and your children's children will see good things if you live like this. They will see God in the family, and they will learn from that example, and there will be no that conflict when parents proclaim something about God, but they don't ask forgiveness for bad things they do. As never before, I feel that pain. I want to shout to the church, church, return, return to the truth of gospel. Don't imagine that you are living well if you follow flesh. We have to school each other with love. If a person is dear to you, you will say those unpleasant words. Paul didn't teach like this. He said, take a seat, speak between each other. Don't leave brother or sister in darkness. It ruins that person, and it may harm others as well. God is gracious. He will never leave us. He will never stop loving us, even if we are walking after the flesh. He didn't start loving me less when I wounded my daughter, but I knew I was not following God's love. I allowed devil to work through my tongue. I had to take responsibility, and I had to allow godly sadness to work in my heart. If you listen to me next Sunday, thanks God, I'll stop in this place. Now I'll ask my husband to come to help me to have Lord's Supper. But before that, I want to pray for a soul, to ask God's fear. This is the engine which produces desire to follow, pursue holiness. God wakens up this desire to be clean. And the scripture says that the beginning of the wisdom is the fear of God. We will not surrender to our feelings, to the teachings which take away from godly truth. Everybody who listens to me now, please, if you want, let us pray together. God, I thank you for your great, great compassion, for your mercy that you do not leave us in error. You do not leave us. Thank you that our hearts have this light turned on anew, light from godly sadness. When people have following their flesh and they become insensitive to God's Spirit, I am praying for the grace to receive repentance which you, God, bring. I pray, Lord, for those hearts which are hardened. Lord, don't allow those marriages and friendships to be ruined because of hard hearts. Reveal your love to every heart. Let us be brave standing in front of you while we still live. Let us see where we turned from the way of light, of life, where we follow unbelief and we call it grace. Forgive us, Jesus. Make our ways straight. Your grace gives us power to crucify the flesh, fleshly deeds which bring us to death. Thank you that you opened that light for us and you to see. Thank you that repentance returns to houses, that the words forgive me return to houses, walking in light, where people are sincere, honest, where they talk about their fears, their sins, their errors, and they do not afraid to be open. At that very place, His blood cleanses us, and a new desire is born to become like Jesus, and it's possible because you gave us power to do this.